grace and your mercy. We thank you that you poured out your love upon us, Lord. We pray that you'd help me this morning to declare your word boldly, Lord. I pray that you'd help us in here to have hearts that are willing to receive, Lord, that are open for to receive, Lord, that hearts that will be listening carefully for the Holy Spirit and his loving correction and loving encouragement and whatever he may have for us this morning, Lord, I pray that we'd be hearing what he speaks to us. Lord, we thank you for your word that is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. Lord, I thank you that it is a solid rock that we can build our lives upon. Help us this morning as we study it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These messages have been a little bit different for me in that preparing them has been easier than some of the others. But I go to bed the night before with a feeling of lack of excitement. And then, am I saying the right thing? Am I preaching the truth? Am I sharing what God told me to share? And then I get up and to share, and then those worries disappear, and the Holy Spirit's power is there to speak the word boldly. And a lot of times I'll go to bed and I'll be like, oh, I'm excited about the word for tomorrow. These have been different in that way. But I know and I believe that God's Holy Spirit has been confirming them in your own hearts. And I pray that you've been blessed by them. So today I'm going to continue with the series I'm doing, Canceled. This is part 3. Often, our goal or our desire is to avoid hardship, to avoid pain and discomfort. You are sitting on soft, cushy seats this morning. If I was to go, when I was young, we had hard metal chairs to sit in. You know, those kind that fold up and then you move in them, they make noise and those things, you know. Your rear end could only handle so much. We got you nice, soft, cushy chairs so that you can listen to me for a long time and not have any trouble. But at home, you have a nice, soft bed with covers that you pull over yourself. Why do we have that? Because we want to sleep in comfort. No one that I know of has just a wood slab that they lay on at night. I don't see that happening. Right, we have air conditioning in this building, right? Why? So we can be comfortable. The moment we get too hot, we want to make ourselves cooler. The moment we get too cold, we want to get a little bit warmer so that we can avoid the discomfort. We can avoid something that is not pleasant in our lives. See, we've been talking on the subject of canceled these last few weeks. And to remind you, let me just remind you of cancel culture and define it for you. Cancel culture is a phrase used to refer to a form of ostracism in which someone is thrust out of social or professional circles, whether they be online, on social media, or in person. Those subject to this ostracism are said to have been canceled. The problem for true followers of Jesus is that the Bible hasn't changed. That means that God is still against homosexual practice and identity. And so, if we want to be in solidarity with the Lord, we will often find ourselves at odds with prevailing culture. Our culture, we are in a place in our culture where it is dictating to us what we should think, what we should believe, it's dictating to us what is moral and immoral. But we don't stand on what our culture says. We don't go with the tides of our culture, right? We stand upon the Word of God. And this will never change. And what it said 2,000 years ago is what it still says today. We believe that this is God's word, unchanged, unhindered. It is what he has given for us so that we may live lives of godliness. It instructs us to live lives of godliness in this world. So if we're going to be true followers of Jesus Christ, we have to stand on the Word of God and not be swayed by what our culture is saying. Now, what if a time is coming when holding on to the gospel of Jesus causes the very thing that we seek to avoid, hardship, pain, discomfort, and as a result of it being canceled? What if we're coming to a time where if we stand on that gospel, we're not going to be able to avoid hardship? We won't be able to avoid pain or discomfort. In fact, standing on the gospel may bring it to us. There might be a time when standing on biblical truth may cause people to stop doing business with you. Oh, you're one of those that believe this way. Well, I'm not going to visit your business. There may be a time when maintaining biblical values will be the reason that people mistreat you. Oh, you're one of them. You're a Christian. You go to that church. Well, you're not welcome here. Truth be told, if we could, we would avoid being canceled. We would avoid the ostracism. You see, if we don't agree with the culture, they want to cancel us. They want to push us away. You know, if possible, no one wants to be canceled. I don't want to be canceled. But it may be unavoidable. It concerns me that we often use the blessings of God to lure people into the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, we say things like, following Jesus Christ will cause you to prosper. Following Jesus Christ will heal all your relationships. Following Jesus Christ will meet all your needs. And there's churches all around that are preaching these types of things this morning. The other day I heard a sermon, and the series was on how to be successful. How to be successful. Now, I want to be successful. I want to learn principles of how to be successful. But ultimately, the gospel is not about making me successful. You see, Jesus warned us about this, about using these blessings to lure people to the gospel in Jesus Christ. You see, and he tells us the consequences of it. You see, he told us a parable about a man who was sowing seed. And the condition of the ground that the seed was thrown onto determined the outcome of that seed. And we see this in Matthew 13, verses 20 through 21. And it says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. They received the word with joy. Oh, it means blessings for me. This is great. It's going to heal my relationships. It's going to bring healing to my body. It's going to cause me to prosper if I follow biblical principles. And then they didn't realize that's not all that was going to happen. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word of God, then they quickly fall away. They fall away because they came to the gospel for the blessings. And when the blessings are replaced with trouble and persecution, then they're gone. You see, we are not to come to Jesus because he will fix all our problems, remove all hardship, pain, and discomfort. We come to Jesus because he washes away our sin. We come to Jesus to be forgiven of our sin. Listen carefully to me. Financial problems won't separate you from God for eternity. Broken relationships won't separate you from God for eternity. Cancer won't separate you from God for eternity. But sin will. If Jesus Christ does not pay the price for my sin, then when I die, I will face eternal death rather than eternal life. That's why Jesus came. So when we use temporary blessings to lure people to salvation, we set them up for being rocky soil that the parable warns about. It's like we're throwing rocks out with the seed, saying, look, come, come, come. And then it becomes a hindrance in their life later on. If a time comes when we in America must choose between following Jesus Christ or being canceled, if I am afraid, I'm afraid that there will be many Christians who will fall away because persecution comes because of the Word, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, right now, America is a wonderful place for a Christian, right? But what if it becomes a day when America is not a wonderful place, where America, our government, actually persecutes us for being Christians, who actually tries to quiet us, to squash us, to squelch us, to keep us down? What if there comes a day when you don't get a tax write-off because you give to the church? What if there comes a day where if you put God bless you on your business, on the door of your business, then that'll cause people to turn and go away? What if? You see, and I don't want you to be one of those when hardship comes or persecution comes. I don't want you to be one of those who will fall away. I want you to be one who will be solid. You see, we live in a society where we can openly proclaim the gospel without fear of persecution. But we are foolish to think. We are foolish if we think that we are immune from persecution and hardship. I shared this scripture with you before. Let me share it again. John 15, verses 18 and 20. If the world hates you. Now, this is Jesus speaking. And I like to listen to what Jesus says. I think it's important. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than its master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. And then Paul is well aware of this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. And he says, in fact, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The past few weeks, we considered the following questions. How do we live when following Jesus Christ puts us at risk of being canceled? And then we talked about the question, what does faith look like when we are being canceled? And this morning we are going to talk about how we persevere during the cancellation. How do we persevere during the cancellation? And first, let me encourage you that we endure hardship. We endure hardship. You see, cancellation, when the cancellation will come, the question is going to be is how do we handle it? When it comes, how are we going to handle it when it gets here? You see, we're going to have a meeting this afternoon about preparedness back in the fellowship hall, being prepared for hard times when things go south and we can't find food and we don't, you know, and the supply chains all break down, right? We're going to talk about all those things. But my question for you is this: are we prepared for when a time, are we prepared for a time when following Jesus Christ could get you canceled? Are you prepared for a time when being a Christian will cause persecution? You see, we always think about water and food, but what about your spirit? What about in your heart? When persecution comes because of the Word and Jesus Christ and the gospel, are you going to be solid and are you going to be prepared for that moment? My prayer is that you are. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, this is where we're going to be looking this morning. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. Instead of avoiding hardship, we must endure it. Instead of avoiding hardship, we must endure it. You see, because when hardship comes for the gospel, we can't avoid it. We can't sidestep it. And you say, well, why can we not? Why don't we seek to find comfort and shelter from the hardship and the persecution? Because those in the cloud of witnesses did not avoid their hardship. And most importantly, Jesus Christ did not avoid the cross. When hardship comes as a result of your faith, to avoid it would be to disown your faith. We talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego last week. They did not try to find a way to weasel out of the fiery furnace. Right? They said, look, our God can deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow down. So you can do whatever you want. You can let us go. You can throw us in the furnace. Whatever you want to do. But we won't bow down. They did not sidestep. They did not avoid the hardship because of their faith that they were facing because of their faith. You see, the encouragement in the scripture is to fix our eyes on Jesus. In other words, to look to his example, to do as he did, to run our race as he ran his race. You see, because he is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. You may could say that he had perfect faith, or maybe that we have a measure of faith and he had the full amount of faith. You see, because he never wavered in his faith. He was never lacking in faith. He gave us the perfect example of what living by faith looked like. So fix our eyes on him. Do what he did. Follow him. Follow his example. You see, Jesus prayed for the sick and they were healed. He spoke a word and cast out demons. He told Peter when they needed to pay their taxes, he told Peter, hey, go fishing. And the first fish you catch, there's going to be a coin in there, and then take that and go pay the taxes. And you know what Peter did? He went fishing. Right? So it's not a sin to go fishing. It's not wrong to go fishing. But Peter went, and what did he find? Just exactly as Jesus said, there was a coin in that fish's mouth, and he went and paid the taxes. You see, Jesus did a lot of amazing things by faith. People were healed. People were set free. Miracles and signs and wonders. All these wonderful things happened because Jesus had faith. And faith can do all these things in our lives too, right? It can provide. It can bring healing. It can provide, bring provision. It can bring deliverance. Faith does all these same things in our lives. But when they were coming to arrest Jesus, remember, this is the man who had perfect faith, had the full measure of faith. He wasn't lacking in faith. When they came to arrest Jesus, he prayed, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. Jesus' amazing faith did not rescue him from the brutality of the cross. Instead, he looked to what was coming in faith. He looked past the cross and he saw the joy that was set before him on the other side of the cross. And what does it say? He endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. In his faith, he could see the evidence of things hoped for. The certainty about what you cannot see. He saw that and he said, between me and that joy is a cross. And if I'm going to get to that joy, I'm going to have to go through the cross. So he endured the cross. He didn't avoid the cross. He didn't sidestep the cross. He saw the cross coming and endured the cross. Last week I told you that your faith may give you great victory. right? It may bring you great victory in your life, but it also, your faith might end up looking like a terrible defeat. You see, Jesus looked like he was defeated. Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead because he had faith, but Jesus also endured the cross because he had faith that God was going to do what he said he was going to do, that he was going to raise him up and bring salvation to all who would put their hope and faith in him. I want you to have faith that causes you to prosper, but I also want you to have faith that will allow you to endure persecution and hardship for the gospel. I want you to have both. You see, when we face cancellation, for our faith, we are to consider what Jesus endured. This is what it tells, our scripture tells us. We consider what Jesus endured. If Jesus was canceled because of the gospel, we should gladly endure the same cancellation because of the gospel. The point is this: if Jesus had to endure opposition from sinful man, then so should we. Someone would say, well, Jesus endured it, so I don't have to. But what did we just read? Look, I'm not telling you crazy stuff. I'm telling you what the Word says. What did we just read? It says, consider him, Jesus. Who did what? He endured the opposition from sinners. Why are we to consider this? So that we do not grow weary and lose heart. Why would we grow weary and lose heart? Because we're facing the same opposition from sinful men that Jesus did. But when we consider Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, it refreshes us. It emboldens us. And our hearts are strengthened by it. We see the path that Jesus walked, and we follow Jesus down that same path. You see, that's what Jesus asked us to do. Whoever does not take up his cross, this is Matthew 10, 38 through 39, whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Jesus wants us to take up a cross and follow him down the same path that he went. And Jesus says, whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. And many preachers are teaching congregations how to find their life, how to live your best life now. I want to teach you to lose your life for the sake of Jesus Christ, because it's when you lose your life that you will find it. I just can't help but think that sometimes we're preaching the wrong stuff. So last week we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't seek to avoid the persecution. They endured the flames of the furnace, and God delivered them from the fire. And a time is coming when you will need to make a stand. And that stand could have some unpleasant consequences that you have to endure. But thank God that Jesus Christ speaks to this, and he says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, who wants that blessing? That's the blessing that Jesus offers. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you because of me. And then he goes on and says, look, I just want you to understand, you're not the only one that's going to have to deal with this. Everyone who followed me, who served God before you, had to endure this too. All the prophets, they endured this. I'm going to endure this, and you're going to have to endure this too. So church, we are not alone. We have a cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, and we have Jesus Christ who endured the cross. And we can endure hardship too. So what do we do when we're canceled? How do we persevere through the canceling? Well, we endure the hardship. We accept the hardship. We embrace the hardship. I'm sorry, this isn't a fun message, but it's what the Word of God is telling us. The second thing we need to do is we need to gain perspective. We need to gain perspective. And we're going to look to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, just continuing through Hebrews here. And he says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Have you completely forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his sons? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one that he loves, and he chastens everyone that he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. You see, we need to gain perspective about our situation. We are told here, he's telling those who are going to read this later, he said, in your struggle against sin. Now, when he says sin, it could be referring to their struggle against sin that so easily entangles that he had just talked about. And he encouraged them to throw off. And we all have sins that easily entangles. Some common ones may be lust or addiction or lying or gossip. But I don't have to tell you them all because you know what you struggle with. You know what easily entangles you. We're to throw it off. But he could also be referring to opposition from sinners, because it was Jesus' opposition from sinners that we are to consider and not grow weary and lose heart. I think both work in the context. But the point is this. Jesus is the author and he is the perfecter of our faith. He endured the cross. He shed his blood and he gave his life for our salvation. So if you compare your situation to what he has had to face, then what you face is just light and momentary afflictions. You see, we need to gain perspective. He says, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Now Jesus, he went all the way to the cross. He was whipped. He was beat. He hung on the cross. He gave his life. He died. What the author is saying is, look, you haven't gone that far. You hadn't gone to that point yet. This changes the perspective of how we interpret our situation. So how does this change the way we see hardships? And the author reminds us, he reminds us that God addresses us as his children by quoting Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. And from this passage, we gain an important perspective that divine discipline is evidence of divine love. That divine discipline is evidence of divine love. So if we want to call God our Father and enjoy the blessings that comes with being part of his family, if we want to be legitimate children in the house of God, if we want to experience the love that God has for us as a Father, then we are also going to experience his discipline. It says he rebukes those he calls sons. He disciplines those he loves. He chastens those he accepts as sons. Now, we want to claim that the enemy is the author of all hardship. That every bit of pain, every discomfort is an attack of the enemy. And that hardship is to be avoided so that we can sidestep it and we want to bail out of it, right? We are trying to avoid it. But this passage teaches us that we are not to look at hardship as an attack sent by the enemy. We instead are to get a different perspective. Instead, we are to see hardship as divine discipline. But look at his instructions to us. Endure hardship as discipline. And you may say, well, God didn't do this to me. This is an attack of the enemy. What does the scripture say? View hardship as discipline. You might say, well, this hurts. It's uncomfortable. It's causing pain. View hardship as discipline. In other words, hardship is a tool of God our Father to train us and to raise us up to be men and women of God. You see, and then this leaves us with one option. This leaves us with one option, and this is our third point, that we submit ourselves to God. We submit ourselves to God. Hebrews 12, verse 7, it says, "For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? They disciplined us for a while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our own good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed." You see, this perspective helps us because being disciplined is part of being a true son or daughter. Being disciplined is part of being a true son or daughter. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him." We love to say, that is what we are. We're children of God. Yay! And we rejoice in the fact of being children of God, that we are born of him, and that he has just lavished his love upon us. Isn't that such a pleasant verse? Oh, I'm a child of God, and he just lavishes his love upon me. But it's almost as though the author of Hebrews is saying, see what love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be disciplined as his sons, that we should endure hardship as discipline. Just as the Father's love gets lavished upon us, and it's so wonderful, also the Father's love gets lavished upon us through discipline. You see, divine discipline is a sign of divine love. This means that I should not be discouraged or grow weary or lose heart when I face hardship, when I'm mistreated, when I'm persecuted, because when I experience discomfort or pain, but I should see it from the perspective of, oh, how God loves me. He loves me. I am one of his children. He is training me in righteousness and guiding me towards peace. Now listen, we have all had earthly fathers, and we have been trained by their discipline. You see, a father's discipline trains the children into men and women who can function in society again. Now, just to bring this home a second, we've all been in the grocery store, and there's a child, and we've heard the child throwing a fit three aisles down the, you know, they're throwing a fit, and I don't want that, man. They're just screaming and bawling and making a scene. And what do we think? We don't say it a lot of times, but we think it. That kid needs his butt tore up. You thought it, right? You've thought it. That kid just needs his butt tore up. That kid needs a father to discipline him. See, we don't have any trouble with that, but then the moment we want to think of our Heavenly Father disciplining us to train us up to be men and women of God, then we're like, oh no, he's not going to discipline me. I think sometimes, you know, God's sitting up there and Jesus, you know, they're seeing us, and they're like, and Jesus is like, Dad, that boy just needs his butt torn up. Right? That boy just needs a little bit of discipline. Lord, help us. See, notice the fruit of discipline from the Father. Notice the fruit of discipline from the Father. It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. if we have been trained by it. If, in other words, if we don't avoid it, if we don't sidestep it or try to weasel our way out of it, if we endure it, if we embrace it, if we let it teach us. I don't know about you, but I want a harvest of righteousness and peace in my life. But the Word of God tells us that it comes through divine discipline and through hardship. We all want a harvest of righteousness and peace, but nobody wants the discipline or the hardship. Then he encourages, the encouragement to them is this: strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Rise up, basically, and pull yourself together and be encouraged. Gather your strength. Make level paths for your feet. In other words, he's saying be intentional about the steps that you take. Be intentional about your behavior. Don't just see some discomfort come in and be like, oh, I'm not going to endure that. No, he's saying be intentional about what you do. Be intentional about how you deal with hardship. Why? Why? So that those around you who are lame, who are struggle, who are about to give up won't be disabled, so that they won't quit, so they won't just tap out of the fight. You see, you endure hardship and you pull yourself together. Why? Because there's someone watching you. And if you give up, then they're going to give up. If your children see you give up, then they're going to give up. As a pastor, if you see me give up, then what does that show to you? Instead, we're not to tap out, right? So, but instead, what's supposed to happen is if we pull together, if we gather our strength, it says they will be healed. They will be strengthened in their faith. They won't run from the hardship. They won't cave into the persecution themselves. In other words, set an example. He's reading this to, this is getting read to a bunch of people. And he's basically, as a pastor sitting up before the congregation, as I am before you today, and say, look, you strengthen yourself. You pull yourself together because there's people watching you. And there's people that are alongside of you. And if you strengthen yourself, then they will be strengthened. And in this room, there are those who are really struggling. And in this room, there's those who are like, you know, that are going to pull themselves up. But we all need to hear it. We all need to not give up. We all need to pull ourselves together and be intentional about with the way we step and where we walk. You see, this passage ends on an encouragement to all of us to strengthen ourselves. Now, this isn't saying to live life on your own strength. That's not what this scripture is saying. But what he is saying is, look, you apply these truths that I am teaching you to your life so that you will be strengthened, so that you will be strong, and you'll be strengthened for others. So listen, men, fathers, leaders, mothers, and women, we have an individual responsibility to be strengthened so we can strengthen others in hardship. Someone needs to be strong. Someone needs to be strong. Will you be strong? You hear me, men? Will you be strong? Will you be strong for your families? When the world is, this culture is threatening to cancel you and they're persecuting you because of the gospel, will you be strong so that your family sees an example that's strong? As leaders, will we be strong so that those in church, those that are among us that look up to us, will be strengthened? You see, we are to set that example. As a pastor, I'll tell you, just being honest and real, you see, I've been living this out. I'm going on 2 years as being pastors, and while these years have been amazing, and there's a lot of wonderful things going on here at this church, can I just be real and honest for 1 second and say, inside, there's been a lot of hard stuff. There's been a lot of hard stuff on the inside. And it's been hard because of, dare I admit it, my own immaturity in areas that have caused hardship in my own life. You see, when I became pastor, I thought I was ready, but I quickly realized how ill-prepared I was. And you could say that these past 2 years, you have been seeing me strengthening my feeble arms and my weak knees. I'm like, whoa, if I'm going to do what God has called me to do, then I need to gain strength. I need to pull myself together. I need to get myself ready. I need to strengthen myself. I need to learn to become the leader that God's called me to be. I need to learn to become the pastor that God's called me to be. I can't just tap out because it's difficult, because I'm uncomfortable, because it's hard to get the message together, or this person leaves, or that happens, or they say this about you. I'd endure hardship. No, it's not persecution. No, I'm not like being canceled. I'm still on Facebook. They haven't canceled me yet. Yeah. But there's been a hardship in my own heart because of my own weakness and my own immaturity in so many areas. But I said, I'm not going to give up. My wife sees the struggle that I go through sometimes. And she has to endure some of the struggle herself. But I'm just not going to give up. I'm going to keep studying until I get the message together. I'm going to keep pushing forward even though it feels like I can't do enough. I can't get enough done quick enough. And there's this and this and this. And I'm not going to give up. You see, and I want to encourage you to not give up either. Right? Because if you're going to grow in the Lord, if you're going to have a harvest of righteousness and peace, you're going to go through some hardships. And that hardship is God working and disciplining you. He sees that you don't got it all together. And he's going to train you just as a father would train you so that you can pull your life together, so that you can get it. He's going to see you got a weakness over here and say, son, we're going to have to deal. I'm going to bring a little bit of discipline over here so make it a little bit hard on you over here so you can move into into a place I got for you. It's not healthy for you to be doing this over here. So look, I'm going to make it a little bit difficult for you over here so that you're moved out of that. You see, I'm not enduring persecution or mistreatment, but my Heavenly Father is allowing me to feel some pain. He's allowing me to feel some discomfort and some hardship in different areas so that there will be a harvest of righteousness and peace in my life. And he wants to do the same thing for you. But if that's going to happen, we are going to have to endure the hardship, the discomfort, and the pain. And God does not cause the hardship. Does God cause the hardship? No. But let me tell you what he does do. He uses every bit of it for our good. He uses every bit of it for our good. I want to leave you with this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. See, Paul was given some amazingly great revelations from God. And this is what he says, therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And this is what Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. Paul's not sidestepping them, trying to avoid them or get rid of them. He's saying, I'm rejoicing in these things. I delight in these things. He says, because when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. I want you to be prepared that for when things get difficult, if cancellation comes our way, if persecution comes our way, I don't want you to lose or to give up on the gospel just to have a little bit of peace and comfort. I want you to know now that the Bible doesn't promise always to have good, happy days. But the Bible, just as Jesus had to endure hardship, we too, we take up our cross and we follow him. And if we're taking up our... See, he took up his cross because he was going to be crucified. And he's saying, hey, look, you pick up a cross too and follow me. What is that saying? We're going to be crucified. And he says, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, what does he say? You're not worthy of me. If you won't endure hardship along with me, then you're not worthy of me. I want you to know so that when it comes, you're not surprised, you're not shaken. In fact, you've already made the decision. Look, I'm going to stand for the gospel. I'm not going to avoid the persecution or the insults or the hardship that comes for being a Christian. I'm not going to avoid those things. No, I'm going to stand. I'm going to strengthen these arms. I'm going to shore up my knees. I'm going to make very intentional steps about where I walk. What did we say a couple weeks ago? The cross before me and the world behind me. There's no turning back. I've decided to follow Jesus. And if following Jesus takes me to the cross, then that's where I'm going to be. And you see, if you look at what happened to a lot of the disciples, the apostles, after the book of Acts, and you know, there's just traditions and what they best can tell happened. But all of them except for, I believe it was John, gave their life for the gospel. Some of them were crucified. Some of them were burned. Some, you know, if they did not have to, look, they were men of great faith. They laid hands on the sick and people recovered. They cast out demons just as Jesus did. They preached to thousands. They were the ones that started the church. If anybody had faith, it was them. If anybody would have had enough faith to avoid hardship, it would have been them. But what happened to them? They gave their lives for Jesus Christ. They were crucified. They were burned. They whatever, multiple different ways, but they all gave their lives because they wouldn't back down from the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They endured the hardship because they knew they had something better waiting for them in heaven. And I want you to have that same mindset. Praise God. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, these words have not been easy. They have been challenging. Father, some of them may have had to think twice. Like, what? Does the Bible really say that? Because so many times we've heard so much other stuff. But Lord, we don't want what man has added to the gospel. We want what the Bible tells us is in the gospel. We want what it says. We want our lives to be founded on the truth, not man's wisdom or man's ideas or man's desire for comfort, Lord. We want to live by what the Bible tells us and what Jesus Christ tells us and what the apostles wrote down for us in this word, God. We want to live by these things. So, Lord, if they're hard words and messages for us, Lord, may we receive them with joy, knowing that they're going to strengthen us. Lord, and there's so much. Lord, I just pray. Lord, I know you're speaking to people's hearts right now. There's some people that say God's calling you, saying, I want you to be strengthened. I want you to be strengthened. You're to be a pillar. You're to be solid. You are to have strong arms and strong knees, because there's going to be people who are relying on you. So now's not the time to be weak. Now's not the time to have knees that are shaky and ankles that are that stumble. Now is the time to strengthen yourself, to be solid, so that when hardship comes, you will be a solid pillar. You'll be a solid pillar that will strengthen others. That will strengthen others. You will set an example. Lord, we hear your words to us. And right now, in our hearts, Lord, we receive these words. We take it to heart. We say, may it so be so in us. May it be so in us. I will respond. I will act upon the word that you have given me this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each one here. We don't know what the days hold for us ahead, but Lord, I bless them with strength, boldness. I bless them with courage. Lord, I bless them with sound mind and a decided heart that will not be swayed to the left or the right. Lord, I bless them so that they will be able to stand in the face of persecution, in the face of hardship. Lord, strengthen their knees, strengthen their arms. Give them firm paths to walk on, Lord. And we will be a bright, shining light to our community, to those who are even persecuting us. We will be salt. We will be light. We will be a witness of Jesus Christ. And we won't have to be ashamed. We won't have to be ashamed. We'll stand before you. We'll stand before you with our hearts secure in your salvation, secure in what you're doing. Lord, we will be those who stand by faith. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Bless you. You have a wonderful day. And